Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And how is Jesus really the central figure of the book of Revelation? Not long ago, I was walking through my my dining room, and I heard a voice. Now, lest you go to this place where you think Jeff Kinley's lost his marbles and he's hearing voices here, it came from a little counter where we have this little device called Alexa, all right? I know she's listening to everything, okay? I get that part, right? So we watch what we say around the house. But Alexa said this. She said, and I quote, "The millennial kingdom has arrived." And I turned and I said, "Alexa, what did you just say?" She said, "The millennial kingdom has arrived." And I thought, no, wait a minute. Number one, I didn't know Alexa was in the Bible prophecy. And number two, I didn't know she was an amillennialist. She thinks we're in the kingdom right now, okay, you know. And then it dawned on me, I'd ordered a book by John Walford called The Millennial Kingdom. And sure enough, folks, the millennial kingdom had arrived.
Well, welcome to Understanding the Times, the program where we focus on current events that are happening in the country and around the world from a geopolitical standpoint and, more importantly, a biblical worldview. And back with me this week is Pastor Josh. It's always good to have him. We were at the Orlando Prophecy Conference last week. And the clip you just heard was from our guest. He's a prolific author, co-host of the Prophecy Pros podcast with Todd Hampson. He's also the host of the television broadcast, The King is Coming. I'd like to welcome Jeff Kinley. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Ken. Josh, good to be with you again.
So, Jeff, before we dive into this, is there anything you're working on that you want to share with us before we get going here?
Yeah, well, it's a couple of exciting projects that that are about to hit the shelves. One is it's coming out in August as a new book. It's called The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. And a year ago, New Year's Eve, I got on a plane and flew to Jerusalem and did a whole week or so of just in-depth research into the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse. And it's basically seeing the end of time through the actual lens of Jesus' words himself. So it's a deep dive study into Matthew 24 and 25. It comes out in August. And then Todd Hampson and I, my buddy on the Prophecy Pros podcast, we're working on a new book called A Visual Guide to the End Times. It ought to be out sometime in 2025, but we're kind of hammering out those details right now. So some exciting projects coming up.
Sounds great. And folks, if you've never heard Jeff or listened to him before, please check him out. I've had the pleasure of conferencing with him. Jan and Mark had him as a guest. That clip you just saw was from the bi-monthly Thursday event that we hold at Pastor Mark Henry's church. So, Jeff, let's dive into our topic, our first topic. And you kind of touched on it in your opening remark there, and that's AI, artificial intelligence. And just a few questions, and we'll play a video. But do you think that we're seeing the setup for what the Bible says in Daniel and Revelation, the setup for this fourth kingdom, this fourth beast system that's going to be like no other that's mentioned in Daniel 7:23, where the fourth beast shall be a kingdom like no other, it'll be different, and it's going to actually devour the whole earth and trample and break it into pieces. Do you think we're seeing the setup for that?
Well, I certainly think through the push for globalism in the world today, how much like tributaries and tiny streams form into one mighty river, I think we're seeing that on multiple levels. We're seeing it economically. We're seeing it geopolitically. We're seeing it from the standpoint of nations coming together over common crises, like we saw with the COVID pandemic. They've already predicted future crises, disease X or whatever might come down the pipe. Climate change, they've said, is going to be the next crisis. But it's basically anything that we can do to unite the nations together. And of course, many have called for a not only a one world global governance system, but also for one person to lead that government. And of course, the Bible says that's going to be Antichrist. So again, these are things that feed into an overall narrative. Not any one thing by itself wouldn't really paint the picture, but when you put them all together, it spells a one world government. Yes, the fulfillment of Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and Revelation 13.
Exactly. Yeah, Revelation 13 was another one I was going to mention. Josh, you want to?
Yeah, I mean, Do you think that this could also be a run-up to the great apostasy and the great delusion that we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2?
Well, absolutely. In fact, in 2 Thess 2, beginning about verse 3, Paul says that before the day of the Lord comes, that the apostasy must come first, the falling away from the faith. And we're certainly seeing that in multiple ways, not just in individual churches, but in whole denominations. And we're seeing in the whole world, really. People are standing away from God. They're standing away from anything related to a Judeo-Christian ethic. And basically, apostasy relates to a moral falling away and a doctrinal falling away. And we're seeing so many immoral doctrines being introduced into the church today. It used to be that just denying the inerrancy of Scripture was kind of the only thing that marked apostasy, but now we're seeing it with the introduction of homosexual unions. So we're seeing transgender priests and bishops being ordained, and people denying the literal resurrection of Christ, and of course, many, many other things doctrinally and morally. But that's just one area of it. And then that, of course, leads to the revealing of the man of sin. So obviously leading up to that, and I'll make a distinction between the current deception that we're in right now, and the deception that really will occur in the first half of the tribulation, and the delusion, which that 2 Thess passage talks about in verses 10 through 12, that God himself will send. So you have a satanic deception that we're experiencing right now, but we also have a global God-sent delusion that comes from him. And it says that he sends this hardness of heart, this delusion, because they have rejected the love of God that's communicated through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So essentially, repeated rejection of the gospel leads to God hardening a person's heart, much like he did Pharaoh's heart, much like he will in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. It says that he gives them over to a depraved mind. So that's where we're ultimately headed as far as a population goes. But until then, we're under a time of, I think, great deception.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about 2 Thessalonians. I'm glad you touched on that. So in regards to this delusion and deception that we're seeing worldwide right now, let's get into part of the AI system that's being set up. And I believe that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, that AI is going to be a pivotal concept or part of what he's going to need to run his entire system, this beast system that the Bible talks about. So let's take a quick look at a clip and then we'll comment on it in regards to AI.
Artificial intelligence, a technology that has caused wonder and now seems to be evolving at an alarming rate.
There's the sort of nuclear arms race, and then we sort of have an AI arms race.
I think the danger of AI is much greater than the danger of nuclear warheads by a lot.
Can I ask you this, and you finish the sentence. We have created a what?
We've created our next master. We have created our salvation or destruction.
Matters to develop godlike digital superchargers that take over the world.
Jesus, who is the real Jesus? The Jesus in Christianity or Islam? Supertopia. It's important to understand that Jesus is viewed differently in Christianity and Islam. In Christianity, Jesus is recognized as the Son of God and the central figure of the faith. In Islam, Jesus, known as Isa, is considered a prophet and the Messiah, but not divine.
So, Jeff, we're seeing this setup for this delusion, this false Jesus, this false narrative that's being pushed now by AI. But if you listen to that clip, Mo Gadawat, who was the former security person for Google, what he said was daunting. I think we've set up our next master, our next salvation or destruction. And every person that's involved with AI is setting it up, and these heads of these tech companies are telling us, we've opened up Pandora's box. We have literally opened up the gates of hell. What do you think is going on now in the area of AI?
Well, I think, first of all, I found it interesting that Jesus has an American accent there. That, to me, was a little bit alarming.
And that's AI Jesus. That's AI Jesus, yeah. The interactive website that the young people are just flocking to. And I know you know that, but for our audience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so basically the idea with AI is that they can not only generate intelligence, but also mimic voices and images as well, so that they're also indistinguishable from the real thing. That's an important point, because the truth or the truth that's propagated through AI, or the information that's propagated through AI, is actually also going to be indistinguishable from the real truth. Now, when you have a population of people on the planet who have rejected God, so they don't already know what truth is, and then you bring in an authoritative voice, such as through a government or through a one world government, and they're propagating their own narrative, their own message, they're going to be able to do it in subtle ways and in overt ways. They're going to be able to do it in such a way that convinces the human mind of whatever narrative is being displayed through this government. So I like to see, you know, when I look at the tribulation period, for me, it's going to be an interesting dichotomy, if you will, between technology and the Stone Age. Because when you see the judgments of God being meted out in Revelation 6 through 19, the earth is being devastated. A fourth of humanity is killed in the very first set of judgments. You've got rampant disease. You've got waters turning to blood. You've got undrinkable sources. All these things are happening. And yet at the same time, Antichrist will need some way to be able not only to disseminate his message, but also to control the masses. So how specifically AI is going to be used, I don't think we quite yet know that. But at the same time, we do believe that Antichrist, and why shouldn't he or why wouldn't he, use every means of technology at his disposal to do what? To deceive. Because Satan is the master deceiver. He is the one that comes in and blinds people's eyes. The Bible says that he's the God of this world who blinds people's eyes to the gospel. Jesus called him in John 12, the ruler of this world. So Satan is going to use, I believe, AI to continue to deceive the masses. And it'll just flow into, like those tributaries I talked about earlier, it'll be one avenue in which he'll use to propagate his master plan for the end times.
I think that's a great picture with the tributaries there, because there's going to be so many different tools that Satan uses to deceive and delude and to totally take power and really ultimately destroy everything. Yeah.
No, yeah. And I see when we get biblical warnings, and we're getting warnings from the secular world about this, and they use biblical terms to define the danger that they're putting out there. They're saying they're deploying this technology way too fast. The population can't handle it. It's taking away our civil rights. And the tragedy of it is none of these companies are working together. They're all working separately to make profit and to be the first one to advance this technology. And they're saying most of the people that are developing this say there's a very good chance that we could destroy the human race through AI technology. So we know what the Bible says, how it's going to end, but I think we should take some of these warnings to heed about what they're deploying out there right now. Any last thoughts on this, Jeff, and we'll head out?
I think the key for Christians is to be discerning, because there can be this AI-generated, I know there's been churches that have used AI-generated sermons, pastors, if you will, to preach their sermons. Christians need to use biblical discernment. It's really the only thing we have as a solid rock anchor to help us see through the fog that's currently being piped into the atmosphere, if you will. So biblical discernment is going to be key in the last days.
Exactly. Great point. All right. The next topic we want to touch on, Jeff, is this growing concern that's popping up. Our ministry's been warning about it now for over a year. And in my teachings, I've been trying to get people ready for what's coming, and that's the concern of us being labeled as Christian nationalists. They're going to hang this moniker on us. They're going to label us. We're these right-wing, radical January 6 fundamentalists that want to implement a Christian government, a theocracy into our government. So I want to play a short clip, and then I'll get your comment on it.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to bring attention to a dangerous ideology threatening our democracy, white Christian nationalism. Most members of Congress don't even know what it means.
A far-right extremist gave the opening prayer in the House of Representatives in Congress this morning. clearly a friend of the far-right Christian nationalist, MAGA extremist, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you.
Christian nationalism uses Christianity as a means to an end, that end being some form of authoritarianism.
God is on our side!
We're taking our nation back!
The goal of Christian nationalists is well-intended, but misguided. I agree a nation is better when the people are Christian, but we cannot make a nation more Christian through politics or a culture war. You can only make a nation Christian through evangelism.
So, Jeff, our good friend Pastor Jack Hibbs is under attack right now, and it's both a physical online attack, but it's also a spiritual attack for the message he gave for proclaiming that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that our Father in heaven oversees the proceedings in the House of Representatives. And if you watched it a few years ago, they didn't have any problem initiating a pagan Hindu god into the proceedings and overseeing the proceedings. And the minister at the end said, amen and a woman. They had no problem with that. But they do have a problem with preaching the gospel, in particular in the name of Jesus. And what we're witnessing right now, I think, is this, like I said, this moniker being hung on every Bible-believing follower of Jesus Christ, that they're this radical right-wing. You heard the congressman use white supremacist. So it doesn't matter who you are or what race you are, they're going to loop everyone into this category. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, it's very clear to me that a couple things are going on. First of all, on a surface level, we have what is clearly an Orwellian think tank that is driving this narrative of labeling just normal Christians as Christian nationalists. I mean, where in the world did this term come from? But the idea is that what they're doing is they're placing on Christians what they themselves are guilty of committing, which is a threat to democracy. The Christians are simply the one that want to preserve freedoms. And think about it. I mean, 20 years ago, like you were saying, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it would have been no problem for a Christian minister to come up and to pray in Congress or to declare. Think about how foreign it is to mention the God, not just a God, but the God. How foreign, what a concept it is to bring in the idea of Jesus Christ, of righteousness, of preserving life, of not slaughtering the unborn, whatever. I mean, those type of things are so antithetical and anti-philosophical to the current belief system that rules territorially over Washington. The second thing is, on a deeper level, is the idea of what an incredible threat the gospel of Jesus Christ is to the current regime. And right now, in our, not just our government, but governments all around the world, when you talk about Jesus Christ as the only way, you talk about the gospel as the only saving message, you've just poked the hornet's nest. You've just told Satan that you're infringing on his territory. And as we know from Scripture, from Daniel chapter 12, we know from Ephesians 2, that demons are very organized militarily. They're also very territorial, and that there are demons over cities, nations perhaps. And when you come in as a Christian, not just a Christian minister like our friend Jack Hibbs, but just any Christian, and you declare the mind of God, the truth of God about the world and what's happening, you're a threat. And so because of that, they're lashing out. They're creating labels that create a sense of libel against us, and paint us as these, like you said, radical right-wing extremists that just want to go and form a theocracy. But I agree with the last comment in that clip there, is that the only way to really change a nation is through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
If you think about it, we can enact all the laws we want to, guys, but in the end, it's if the heart's not changed, that person's not going to heaven. So through the gospel is the primary way that we change the world. And then secondarily, as American citizens, we do our part with what we can do.
Yeah, I think the church has been asleep, and that's how we've progressed to where we're at today. And when I go out and speak, I use the verse 2 Timothy 3, which tells us exactly what's going to happen in the latter days. In the last days, know this, there will be perilous times. And in the Latin, it means dangerous times. But I always skip down to verse 12, which says, and yes, all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. And I keep telling people, and I keep telling the church, this is heating up, and we haven't felt persecution here in America. But I believe as I've been able to travel not only across the country but around the world where they are being persecuted for their beliefs, I think Christians in particular, they are the most persecuted religion across the world right now. What we've been told as we've traveled across the world is it is coming here to America, and I think sooner rather than later. What do you think, Jeff?
I totally agree. And, you know, there's different levels of persecution. It, you know, begins with just negativity and then moves to, you know, marginalization. And then after that, it moves to, you know, this whole idea of, you know, blocking people out of society, cancel culture, that type of thing. Eventually, it's written into the laws. And that's what we're seeing attempted here in America. And, you know, the overall message of our, not just our government, but of culture and society to Christians is really threefold. Sit down, shut up, and get out. That's really the threefold message that the world has to believers. You know, Jesus said in John 15, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they hated the most loving, gracious, kind human being that ever walked the planet, and you stand up for what he stood up for, the world eventually is going to hate you. And as you mentioned, Ken, you know, we've gotten a pass here in America because, you know, in our history, our government has sort of backed us up. It's had our back about certain moral issues and just general decency. But now the government is promoting heinous, depraved issues and moral values. And it makes me think of Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So we need to prepare ourselves for increasing persecution on our shores. Now, how bad it'll get until the rapture, we don't know. But we do know that what it'll do is it'll help purify the bride. It'll help people say, hey, am I really a Christian? Am I really going to hang on to Christ and his community? And it also tells us, I think, guys, is that finally we need each other now more than ever in the body of Christ. So we have to keep coming together and encourage each other.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Hebrews 10 there, you know, keep getting together more and more as the day draws near. We need the body of Christ for encouragement. That's why we're doing the pastor's huddle here from Olive Tree Ministries. We want the men, the pastors in the pulpits to recognize they're not alone. They're not crazy. They might feel like they're on an island, but we're here together. We want to build community there. So yeah, thanks for that encouragement there, because the body of Christ needs each other. And the beauty is this, Jeff, that's the exact same thing that they said to Jesus, sit down, shut up, and get out. And why do we expect Satan's lies and desires to change now than when they were, when Jesus was here?
Absolutely. Yeah, and the get out part, they're going to get their wish when the rapture comes.
Amen.
They're going to get exactly what they've asked for. It's not going to be good for them, but it's going to be really a final judgment, I believe, on the planet before the tribulation time begins. But you're right. And so for that reason, we have to stand up. We have to speak out. And we have to remain in society. I mean, that there has to be a counter strategy to that. And so believers need to be continually embedded into culture. We don't need to withdraw ourselves. We need to go forward. We need to be the tip of the spear of the light into the darkness and stand up and speak out and take the barbs and the arrows that the world throws at us.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, as we wrap it up here, if you want to let us know where you're going to be speaking, I had the pleasure of meeting Kathy and Chris Gautier at the Prophecy Watchers Conference that Josh and I were at last week, and they're an amazing couple, and they are putting on a prophecy conference in Mississippi, I believe. You want to tell our folks about that?
Yeah, it's going to be on May 4th. Pete Garcia, myself, will be there, and it's going to be a whole day of nothing but just Bible teaching, Bible prophecy, and it's the first conference of this particular kind, I think, in that area in Jackson, Mississippi, so you can go to the website and check it out. It's going to be a great time together.
That's what we were told. It's the first conference that they put on in that area, and I know you guys will do an outstanding job. Folks, this is just part one of two parts that we're going to have with Jeff. Join us next week for part two. When we talk about some subjects that are going on in the country and around the world. And I want to thank you, Jeff, for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And our thanks to Jeff Kinley. He's such a wonderful teacher. Well, we're going to be at a few places coming up here soon. In fact, if you see this in time, Pastor Josh is going to tell us where we're going to be tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah, just this week. Thursday, March 14th, we're going to be at Lake City Community Church in Lakewood, Washington, doing an Understanding Our Times prophecy conference, March 14th from 5 to 8:30 p.m.
And we had a chance to meet Dr. Kennington and his wife. They're going to be there. If you're in the area, tell your friends, come on out. We'd love to spend some time with you. And then on April 20th, myself and Dr. J.B. Hickson, we will be in Kiowa, Kansas at the Southern Baptist Prophecy Conference. It's at the Southern Baptist Church. J.B. will be speaking from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, and I'll be speaking from 6 to 9. So if you're in the Kiowa, Kansas area, come on out and see us. I know we have a lot of listeners out there. We'd love to have you. Come out and join us. It's going to be a wonderful day. If you haven't heard JB speak, I'm going to play a clip from him in the upcoming weeks here. I had a chance to interview him. He gives a wonderful presentation about what's happening in the country and around the world. So come out and join us, if you will. Well, go ahead.
And then after that, coming up in April, April 27th, I'm going to be in Maryland and Silver Spring, Maryland at the People's Community Church. It's going to be the weekend of the 27th. We're still working out the absolute logistics of timing, but it's going to be a great prophecy conference there as well.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this week. Join us next week as we look at the current events that are happening, and who knows what will be happening by then. But until then, go out and serve the King.